Psalm 90. Psalm 90. This is a psalm which Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you this morning about numbering our days, and we're going to focus specifically on verse 12, although I will read the entire psalm. And this, I will tell you, is to be not so much an exegetical sermon as an exhortation. And so we're going to take Psalm 90 and verse 12 and focus upon that verse, and specifically this idea of numbering our days. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand together with me while I read Psalm 90 for us. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as they sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto Thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish Thou it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come once again to open Your Word, to hear it proclaimed. We desire to receive it as it is, the Word of God. I pray now, as this Word is preached this day, that You will open hearts to receive Your Word, that You will take and apply it as only You can by Your Spirit. You have authored it, and now we ask that You would enlighten our minds to understand the truth contained therein and the importance of this truth. We would pray, Lord, that You would help us to focus upon You throughout this message, to receive with our ears Your Word, that You would help us to take it within our minds and grasp it, the truth of it, the importance of it, the urgency of it, and that when we leave from here this day, that we will truly live it out day by day. So now, Lord, we pray that You would glorify Yourself and that You would teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we do pray this through Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This verse has been burning in my soul for the last few weeks, constantly being brought to my remembrance. A very important teaching in the Word of God. God seems to have built this idea that I'm going to address within the very makeup of human beings. This idea of the importance of time, of the life which we have been given. And especially so for believers, those who believe in God, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this becomes especially important for us. But all throughout human history, there has been an understanding that time is important and we are limited in that amount of time that we are given for this life. One of the false pagan gods of the ancient Romans was called Janus. Janus had two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. He looked both ways. January, our month of January, is named after him. January has traditionally been the time of year when people stop and they look back and they look forward. It's the beginning of a new year for us on our calendars. It's a time of resolutions and commitments, and we are quickly approaching that time of year when that emphasis will come about in our society. Well, what I would like to do this morning is take that concept, looking backward, looking forward, recognition of today, and encourage you to make a commitment to number your days. What does Moses mean here in Psalm 90 and verse 12 when he asks God to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom? Well, I don't think he means that we should go back and count the number of days that we've been alive. That wouldn't do any good, really, spiritually speaking. Nor does it mean to count the remaining days that we have left in our life, because we don't know how many days await us. Now, we can guess, and in general, we have lifespans, and even in the medical profession, especially when somebody has a terminal illness, they can often give a time span for the life that is left, and sometimes very accurately, sometimes to the very day, they're correct with this educated guess. However, normally, we do not know how many days are left for us. John Gill says that the petition is that God would teach us to number our days as if the present one was the last. For we can't boast of tomorrow. We know not, but this day or night our souls may be required of us. He says, but the sense is that God would teach us seriously to meditate on and consider of the shortness of our days. John Calvin conjectured that Psalm 90 was formulated at Moses' time of death, that as he drew near to his end, he composed this psalm. And as you read it, you can see how he comes about with this conjecture, because it does have this kind of sound and flavor to it. There is a brevity of life that is spoken of often in Scripture. You don't have to read far in it to find that there are people dying, and that life is short, and that there is a judgment which awaits us all on that last day. Psalm 39 in verse 4 is just one example I'll give you, very much a parallel with Psalm 90, and this is the prayer of the psalmist here. This is David. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. This is the message from Moses thousands of years ago down to us today, that we should be praying unto God, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Russian poet Anna Akhmatova said that war and plague pass, but no one can cope with the terror that is named the flight of time. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 9 and verse 4 that the night comes when no man can work. We are to work while the day is here, but the night comes when no man can work. That verse has a resounding clarity of finiteness, that this life ends. There are many Christians, many others who have recognized this throughout time. The Scottish writer Thomas Carlyle wrote the words, "Cometh night," on the flyleaf of his first book. Robert Murray McChaney, that great Scottish preacher, reminded himself and his friends that time flies by so quickly when he sealed his letters with the words of Jesus, "Cometh the night." He never realized that his own life would be cut so short, dying at, I believe, the age of 30, very young age. Man knows not his time. The English author Samuel Johnson, in order to be reminded how quickly time flies, had inscribed on his watch the warning of our Lord, "Cometh night," so that when he looked at his watch, he would always be reminded the night is coming, and coming so quickly. Sir Walter Scott, the great Scottish novelist, had the words "Cometh night" sculpted on the sundial of his cottage home. And in his diary, the last words, among the last words that were written were, "Tomorrow we shall," but tomorrow never came for him. The night came. John Piper tells of a very interesting habit which he has in regard to time. And I want to read this excerpt from him to you so that you'll get the flavor of what he's saying here. This is what he says. He says, "I have an unusual habit when I go to bed. After my wife Noelle and I pray, I crawl into bed and situate myself on my left side, facing the red glow of the radio alarm clock numbers on the bedside table. I pull my hands up in front of me at about face level and wait for a few minutes in stillness, usually praying silently with gratitude for the wife who lies behind me, for my children, and for the ministry God has given me. Then I take my right hand and curl my fingers around my left wrist and find my pulse. I watch the red minute number until it changes, and then I begin counting. 1, 2, 3. When the minute changes and 1 minute has passed, I stop." He says, "I began this particular habit out of the vain notion that if my heart rate were very slow from good exercise or genes, it would mean that my heart is healthy and I will live long. Such is the silliness of human thought. The effect," he says, "has been otherwise. Now, as I count the beats, it is not the rate that fixes my attention, but the succession. One beat, then another, on through the night, about 21,000 times while I sleep. The effect of this little exercise is that I fall asleep most nights, lulled by the steady rhythm of my heart, and with a sober sense of my very fragile existence. Any one of those beats could be my last. I cannot will to make my heart beat one more time. If it stops, it stops. I and my time on earth are over. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Time is precious. We are fragile. Life is short. Eternity is long. End quote. Well, as we examine and consider the brevity of life, we come to understand the time that God has given to us and the importance thereof. We come to understand that God has given us this day, and it is extremely important that we live it for His glory. If I were to ask you how old you are, more than likely you're going to respond with a certain number of years. But our lives consist of more than years. Our lives consist of days. Joseph McAuliffe says, a day is a microcosm of time itself. One could argue that a day, by its nature of completeness, is the most fundamental unit of time. In fact, the Scriptures contain four times as many references to days than to years, which is the second most mentioned unit of time. A day is life in miniature, and life is the summation of our days. Now, I want to repeat that last sentence because this is what I want you to get today. A day is life in miniature, and life is the summation of our days. Each day is precious, a gift from God. D. James Kennedy said, most of us are prodigals when it comes to the use of our days. We waste them, he says, like a child playing with a water hose, splashing the water over everything, turning it on the side of the house, the car, the fence, anything. If we really saw how few our days are, how brief our sojourn here is, we would treat our days like the few drops of water left in the canteen of a man staggering across a blazing desert. We need to consider how brief this life is, he says. We need to focus in on today. Yesterday is gone, irretrievably, forever, totally, completely gone. We cannot bring it back. Tomorrow never comes. We never have anything but today. And so the Bible would teach us to live in the moment, not merely for that moment, for God has given us greater things to live for. We are to live in this day. So we need to understand that whatever relationship you find yourself in will be gone one day. And it will be much too soon for you. If you are a parent or a child, if you are a wife or a husband, if you are a brother or a sister or a friend, those days will become but a memory. Our daughter, who was born premature, and on that day in which she was born, I could hold in one hand, passed me up some years ago in regard to height. She more than caught up for her lack at the beginning. She just recently turned 19 years old, a woman now. And you look back at those kinds of things and you say, where did those years go? Where did they go? And I can tell you where they went. They went one day at a time. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. As I contemplated this magnificent, this very deep thought of time and the preciousness of it and eternity which awaits us. I thought of the death of my oldest brother when I was a young boy, and I didn't get to know him for long. I remember the anguish of my parents and my family upon his sudden death, and that it was an anguish that was never really recovered from. And then I thought of the funeral of my grandmother as I was a little bit older. And it was perhaps, as I thought back upon it, probably the first concrete realization that life really does end. And when a life ends, that relationship ends for this life. It was a very sobering thought. I think of the many funerals that I've attended since then and many that I've officiated at, and how at every one of them there is a realization from the people present that a relationship has ended. And all of the hopes and all of the desires and all of the opportunities to relate with that person are now gone. And there were many of those occasions when, as a pastor, you get into the background of it and the less public side of the funeral, and you're there when everyone else has left or before everyone else arrives, and you see it in very dramatic and graphic ways. A life ends. Relationship is gone for this life. All that is left now are memories. Time is short. Time is precious. A few years ago, a pastor that I was that I knew in the same geographical area in which we lived was taken to the hospital on a Monday morning because of stomach problems. On Wednesday, he was diagnosed with cancer. On Friday, they did surgery. They opened him up and then closed him back up and said, "You have 2 weeks to live." The next Tuesday, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he died. Just over a week. Time is so short for us. Eternity awaits us very quickly. So the question becomes, what is it? Or, perhaps better, who is it that is important and precious to you? What do you need to do in your relationship with God? What do you need to do in your relationships with other people that you have been putting off? What do you need to do to prioritize your life to live in light of Psalm 90 in verse 12? Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. That's the exhortation today. This is the challenge. This is the message from God's Word for us today. To teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. An anonymous poet wrote, "He was going to be all that mortal should be tomorrow. No one should be kinder nor braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a life and who needed it too. On him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks he'd fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed he was busy today and hadn't a minute to stop on the way. More time he'd have to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers as man would have been, tomorrow, the world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and he faded from view. And all that he left here when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. History reports that when Queen Elizabeth I lay on her deathbed, her last words were, "Time, time, give me one more moment of time. I would give my kingdom and all I possess for one more moment of time." But time cannot be bought. So in light of this sobering thought that we're dealing with this morning, what should we do in regard to time? And I want to give you some advice, I suppose, as to what we should do in regard to time. First, we should pray over it faithfully and give thanks for it continuously. Pray over it faithfully and give thanks for it continuously. James writes in chapter 4 and verse 13, "Today or tomorrow," he says, "ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." You see what he's saying? We should bring everything underneath God's providence, including our time, our plans, our goals. We should recognize that every moment we have is based only upon God's sovereign good pleasure. So, in light of that, we pray over our time. We pray for our time. And as we live our life, we continually thank God for the time that He has given to us. Daily prayer is an acknowledgement of our submission to the will of God. A morning time of prayer is a time of committing our day unto the Lord. And as we pray throughout the day, we are acknowledging, "God, you have given us this day. Thank you for it. May we glorify you in it." We really should understand that there is no such thing as time management when you think about it. You cannot manage time. It marches on. You can even change the name to life management, and it doesn't really help, because life marches on as well. You'll find that it gets pretty difficult to manage your life under God's providence. You have constant interruptions to your plans. Death is the biggest interrupter of all. I'm convinced that much of this is God's way of saying to us, "I will not be managed by you. You must submit yourself unto me." And these disruptions are a constant reminder of our need to pray to Him concerning the time that He has given to us. So when we are interrupted throughout our day and throughout our life, it is then that we should be driven to our knees even more so than in the normal process of our lives. So we cannot manage time nor life. What you can do is you can focus on a godly purpose, on godly goals, on godly plans, on godly actions, on godly attitudes, and seek to live them out. Yes, we do make plans, but we make them underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we commit ourselves, we commit our days unto the Lord. When we learn about the brevity of life and God's sovereignty over our lives, we then learn what it is to give thanks to Him continuously for what He has given us. We should awaken with thanksgiving on our hearts and minds because of the new day that He has given to us. We should pause throughout the day and give thanks to the Lord for all of His goodness toward us. We should go to sleep at night thanking Him for the goodness that He has given to us. So our day should be surrounded by prayer for God's will and thanksgiving for the blessings that He has given to us. Psalm 90 and verse 12, asking God to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I had mentioned that what we need to do in regard to time is to pray over it faithfully and give thanks for it continuously. So we pray for the time that God has given to us, and we give thanks unto Him for what He has given to us. A second, I would say that we need to guard it carefully. We need to guard the time that God has given to us carefully, because everyone has an agenda for us. And we really should understand this, that people set agendas for our lives and for our times. Your time, your money, your very life are viewed by many people out there in this world as resources to be used by them for their happiness. As Greg Harris says, every institution, organization, agency, and business, from Microsoft down to the local Little League, loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. They will set the agenda for you if you allow them to do so. So you need to guard the time that God has given to you, consecrate it unto Him to be used for His purposes. Third, use it wisely. Use the time that God has given you wisely. What is God's plan and purpose for your life? Well, it's actually much more simple than we often tend to make it and display it to be with the way we live our lives. I think Deuteronomy 6, along with other passages, is a good reminder to us. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." All day long, every day, love the Lord your God with your entire being. Now, time is an interesting thing. Someone has said that God created time in order that everything wouldn't happen at once. He created the world in 6 days. He could have done it in a moment of time. But He took 6 days. And all of the majesty of it, all of the intricacies of it, He put in place over those 6 days. And our part is to be stewards of this creation and of this time which He has given to us. We must use our stewardship wisely. Remember the parable of the talents. The one who was given his talent, he said, "Oh, I protected it, God. I kept anything from happening to it. I buried it away. I kept it. And here it is, back to you." And God says, "No, this is not what I'm after. I'm after you making wise use of what I've given to you. So use your time wisely." Fourth, I would say prize it. Prize the time that God has given you. We should prize every opportunity in this life that God has given to us to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone wrote, "Yesterday is only a dream and tomorrow is but a vision. Yet each day well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this one day, for it and it alone is life." An unknown author wrote a poem called "The Clock of Life," where he says, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to tell just where the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed, to lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss as no one can restore. The present only is our own, to seek to do God's will. Tomorrow holds no promise, for the clock may then be still." Two more. Now, the fifth one is that we should treasure the time that God has given to us. Treasure it. He has given it to us to enjoy and to treasure. A lady named Anne Wells wrote of this account. It's very powerful in my mind of this principle that I'm setting before you, to treasure your life which God has given to you. This is what she says. "My brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. 'This,' he said, 'is not a slip. This is lingerie.' He discarded the tissue and handed me the slip. It was exquisite. Silk, handmade, and trimmed with a cobweb of lace. The price tag, with an astronomical figure on it, was still attached." He says, "Jan bought this the first time we went to New York at least 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me and put it on the bed with the other clothes we were taking to the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material for a moment. Then he slammed the drawer shut and turned to me. 'Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion.'" She continues to write, "I remembered those words through the funeral and the days that followed when I helped him and my niece attend to all the sad chores that follow an unexpected death. I thought about them on the plane returning to California from the Midwestern town where my sister's family lives. I thought about all the things that she hadn't seen or heard or done. I thought about the things that she had done without realizing that they were special. I'm still thinking about his words, and they've changed my life. I'm not saving anything. We use our good china and crystal for every special event, such as losing a pound, getting the sink unstopped, the first camellia blossom. Someday, and one of these days, are losing their grip on my vocabulary. If it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I want to see and hear and do it now. I'm trying very hard not to put off, hold back, or save anything that would add laughter and luster to our lives. And every morning when I open my eyes, I tell myself that it is special." Now, I understand that we're on a pilgrimage, and this is not our world that we want to live in for all eternity. This world is filled with suffering and heartache, and there is a better place for us. But this doesn't mean that we have to hate this life that God has given to us. It doesn't mean that we have to be miserable in this life that God has given to us to treasure. We are to live our lives upon this earth and be joyful in it. This doesn't always mean we'll be happy, as the world defines happiness. But it also doesn't mean we can never be happy. We should treasure the day that God has given to us. One final aspect to this. We should redeem it. We should redeem the time that God has given to us. This is the point where this whole discussion becomes very Christ-centered. Ephesians 5, in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redemption is a wonderful way to look at what it means to number our days. In God's revelation, He gives us patterns. We have patterns of time before us. We have the weekly pattern that God gives us in His creation, and as He sets aside the Sabbath for us. This becomes our weekly cycle. 6 days work, 1 day of rest and worship. We are reminded every 7 days of our need to refocus upon God. And this is what we should use our Lord's Day. One of the reasons for is to refocus our lives. We look back and we look forward to the coming week. In the Old Testament, there were special offerings at the beginning of the month. Our calendars begin with the number 1. We start over in our counting. We number our days. We number a new month, usually carrying with it a certain significance for us, that this is the beginning of another month for us. Even naturally, there is built into humanity cycles that work. A woman's monthly cycle. It takes place on that monthly basis. And there is a period when there is a potential for new life each month. And if that does not occur, then there is blood, symbol of death. Not that there's actually death that occurs each month, but it's symbolic, life and death on a monthly basis. Constantly reminding us of the life that God has given to us. Under the Old Testament, there were annual reminders, the Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of Weeks, trumpets, Day of Atonement, tabernacles, Feast of First Fruits. We also tend to want annual reminders. Our calendars are filled with these ideas of special days throughout the year. The beginning of the new year. It's just another day, isn't it? It really is. But symbolically, there's a figure there. It's a new year. Our birthdays, it's really just another day. But we say there's something special about it. There's something significant. This was a day that I was born. And another year has passed in my life. There were even reminders on a daily basis. The morning and evening sacrifices. Under the new covenant, we are called to pray for our daily bread. To daily take up our cross. To die daily. And to meditate day and night on the Word of God. To pray daily. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So in creation and in recreation, we are given patterns concerning time. Concerning God and His priorities in regard to time. Not that we have to keep all of those patterns that are set before us, but they do point us to God and His priorities. And we do need to continually go back to God and what is important to Him as the pattern for how we build and live our lives. And when we break that pattern, we sin against God. We sin against His priorities. the opportunities that He has given to us, we waste time. We misuse time. Yet, the day is a wonderful pattern that reminds us of God's redemptive work. We lay down at night to sleep, symbolic of death. We arise in the morning by God's grace, symbolic of the resurrection. And then we live that day in light of the resurrection that He has given to us. We live our lives for Christ. Now throughout that day, we misuse time. We abuse time. We don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has given to us. So we sin, right? It's like we do throughout our life. We sin. And so what do? We seek forgiveness. We repent of that. We go back to God. The day in our life is a reminder of the redemptive work of God. So we redeem time by making the right use of it. And when we misuse it, we seek His forgiveness. The way to redeem time is to make use of the time that God has given us for the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the great example of the correct use of time. It is, in fact, only in Him that we can make the correct use of the time that He has given to us. It is only as we relate to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can truly redeem time, because we have been redeemed. So we actually redeem the time by faith. You must come to Christ as the great sovereign over all time, and as the Lord over your own time, and as the Savior over your sinful and selfish approach to life. You are a sinner who has rejected and sinned against God. The very Creator, Christ, lived and died in time for such sinners. Devote your days to Him. Consecrate your life to Him. I'll leave you with this very important thought. Your life is a story. It's a story. You write your story by the way in which you live your life, by how you use the allotted time that God has given to you, by numbering your days. Within this book, the story, which is your life, there are chapters in your life. Each chapter has paragraphs. Each paragraph has sentences. Each sentence has words. Each word has letters. I want you to think of the letters as breaths or heartbeats. Think of the words as minutes. Think of the sentences as hours. The paragraphs are days. Before long, the chapter is filled with paragraphs. And before you know it, the story is completed. And you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give account of your days. Did you devote your days to Jesus Christ? Today is the day of salvation. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. For the night cometh. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank You for the reminder each and every day that we awake with a new day that you have blessed us with. And every morning, your faithfulness is great unto us. Even when we deny you, you do not deny us. Even when we misuse the time you have allotted to us, you are constantly working to redeem the time in us. Help us, Lord, that we would truly understand what it means to number our few and frail days. For the story, our story, is quickly being written and will quickly come to an end. For even though we may live by your grace a long life, as Moses told us, yet soon it is cut off, and we will stand before you, giving an account. May it be, Lord, that you will give us the strength and the grace to live for your glory each and every day, for today indeed is the day that you have given to us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, as we do pray this through Christ's name. Amen.